Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. Literally flew in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Literally just jumped off the plane and came through traffic and came here. I'm proud to welcome back Don Alder, a great guitar player, great friend, and it's great. I'm glad you got here safely.
I did, yeah. Good to see you again, Jeff. I think they probably poured out of the plane would be more accurate.
Well, anyway, he had called me up a couple of months ago and asked, and usually we see him at around NAMM time, but he was in town, so we thought we'd have him come down. But it was interesting because I've been following him. If you follow his website, www.donalder.com, or over on Facebook, you'll notice he's been a pretty busy guy, and not just here. I mean, though his native home is Canada, he's been touring all over the world, and he's had some interesting adventures, what we're going to ask him about. Because just recently he was in Germany, but then I saw him in China. I'm like, how the hell did he get there that fast? But he's been touring all over the place and doing some interesting things and interesting collaborations. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And also, he's been playing some bizarre, interesting new guitars, too. So I want to see what he's been up to. So anyway, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Yeah, it's... Good traveling. I mean, yeah, I think, like I said, I just poured off the plane. So, I think I'm starting to understand what the term road warrior is, finally.
You've been touring. I mean, yeah. Even the you can see
exactly
how this guitar is aged. His classic Yamaha guitar that he had here last time.
Yeah.
It's aged.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm hoping I can hook up with Yamaha Artist Service this time and kind of maybe retire this and get a new one going. But, yeah, this has seen a lot of miles, eh? And still going pretty strong.
God,
you know?
It still sounds great.
Yeah, great little guitar.
So tell us a little bit of what you've been doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, to start it off, I'm doing a few different things. I'm working on a new CD, and still touring the old one. And for me, touring is not so much like when you launch a new album and you tour it for a certain amount of time. When you're playing at the level I am, you're actually, it's work all the time. You're constantly working, right? And so touring, working. So I started off as a hired gun for some companies in China. And I went there with another artist by the name of Travis Bowman. Mm-hmm. And then worked my way over to Germany. But China was really interesting. You know, we got to try a bunch of different pedals. We got to try this new wireless looper that hooks up to their specific amplifier. Very cool things. And then, of course, the cuisine is always interesting. This time we had, we had Viper.
Viper?
Yeah, fresh poisonous viper.
Poisonous.
But they depoison it, I guess, when they cook it. That was interesting. Then we had frog's legs, but I mean, down in the south, you have a lot of frog's legs, so that was pretty good. Because they knew I was a fan of the Walking Dead TV series, they produced a nice little bowl of a perfectly intact pig's brain for me to test out with all the pink veins and stuff in it. And that was like a really bad I know, pretty bad yogurt. Didn't get off on that one too much. And then they serve this, like, a really interesting thing that I've never had before. And I'd never even known even people eat it before. It's cicadas. You know, this insect, a large insect, and I guess they're pretty big in China. What they do is either boil them or bake them or something. You break open their the back end, and there's this, like, little round piece of meat. And it tastes like a cross between pork and beef. It's just fabulous, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, so pretty always interesting when you go to China. You never know what's going to happen.
Now, there's a little thing that's going on. I was at the AMP show recently, and I talked to, I think it's Nuex.
Nuex.
And there's a video of you out there, and you guys got to check this out. It's a video of him with Nuex in Shanghai.
It was in a little town outside of Shanghai.
Outside of Shanghai. Anyway, he's demoing this looper that they have in this amp system. So he's playing around with this thing, and it's a really cool thing. So, Nuex was, there's an American counterpart here that distributes for them. So I went over to them at the LA Amp Show, at Lonnie's show, and I said, you know, Don's going to be on my show. Can we get that? Because you mentioned in the video that it was a prototype, so you weren't able to take it
with
you because you wanted it.
Definitely.
And he, and so I said, is there any chance we can get that? And he just looked at me and goes, I've seen the video, but they never told us about it. So they said they just built that. They haven't even announced it when they're going to release it. So it was so new. You saw something that was just, they just laid on you.
Yeah, they threw us off guard a little bit. We were there just kind of test an amp because they were one of the sponsors of the tour. So they wanted us to see an amp. And next thing you know, we're recording a video using a looper. And I haven't used a looper in years, but I tell you, I could get back into it after messing around with that.
It sounded pretty cool what you were doing on it.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, basically, you could just put that thing in your pocket and walk away and just leave the thing the whole show playing to the amp. But I think it has to work with that particular amp.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're tied together. But the amp, once again, a very small amp, beefy sound. And I guess I'm trying to remember the guy's name from Marshall who helped develop the Marshall amp. But he's starting to get more into these acoustic amp, maybe selling specs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, yeah, great little amp with that.
Yeah, no, he did find out that the guy, David Hager, over at Nuex here, it said that they're planning on releasing it next year, so it should be at NAMM.
Yeah.
So it should be there. So you never know.
I'll be getting one as soon as I can.
Now,
so compact. Yeah.
What in China also, let me ask you this. Did you try some of the guitars that are out there that they make over there? Not the ones they ship here, but.
Yeah. No, you know, China's coming a long way. I mean, even the Yamaha I'm playing right here is made in China, right? So I think what happens is you just have to give good guidance and the proper environment to build guitars in, and I think they do a fabulous job. I tried a number of different guitars, were really great. I tried one that was put in my hands, and it was a Gauguin, and it's actually a mock-up of Greenfield guitars, which are like $18,000-$20,000.
Right.
Not close to a Greenfield, but for $3,000, a pretty awesome little guitar, right?
Right, right.
So yeah, they're coming a long ways,
and they have the woods. I know that they're using some interesting woods there.
They're buying up a lot of woods, so I think that's one of the strategies.
They're one of the major buyers of rosewood.
Yeah.
I've heard that from other luthiers.
But
they're not buying it for guitars. From what they were telling me is they're buying it for furniture. Rosewood furniture is very popular.
What? I didn't know that. Wow.
So anyway, that was interesting. Oh, wow. But also, too, there was another video I saw of you, and that was in Germany.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And you were playing with another guy, and you were using this, it looked like a carbon guitar, and it had the progressive fan frets.
Yes.
So you got to tell me about this, because I've never seen you play one of those.
Yeah.
And what did you think of it?
Well, let me go back a few years. I mean, many, many years ago, my first major endorsement was with Greenfield Guitars. And that was, he basically released what was a Don Alder model, which is a 2-inch fan fret. And a phenomenal guitar, but it lived only happily from D to D, so I couldn't use it for full sets and stuff. I could only use it for a couple songs. So basically it's at home, and I use it for recording and other things. But when I was over in Germany, a guy I ran into, his name is Thomas Stryker, and he has a company called Leviura Guitars. And Thomas actually builds carbon fiber wings or composites for aircraft, but he's a hobbyist guitar player. So he started building guitars, and he's right down to testing all the tones and the sounds and everything of this. So it's probably the best, carbon fiber guitar that I played to date. And then what's neat is it looks just like the old G4 with the 2-inch fan fret and stuff. And so I was hoping to bring it over here this time, but cannot, but we'll try to do that. And so I had used it in Germany on stage along with my Yamaha and the harp guitar. Worked wonderfully. There's still a couple little spots that sound like, you know, that resonate like you in the bathroom. But I think he's getting very close to making a guitar that could, you know, could replace a wood guitar.
How heavy duty are those guitars?
That I don't know. But if you took it into water, you'd be fine. If you took it into the ocean, of course, your tuners are going to salt.
Right, because I know that there's another company, River Song or something like that, that makes out here.
Yeah. The Canadian company, River Song?
They make Rain Song.
They make
graphite guitars.
That's right.
And I read an article of Arlo Guthrie, because, you know, he uses a really old D18 or whatever when he plays.
Yeah.
But he said when it rains, he uses the Rain Song.
The other beauty is that you can go to different types of temperate environments where, you know, you have from humid to not humid, and they hold in place, which is fabulous, right? So, now, speaking of carbon fiber, though, the all-carbon fiber guitar is still, it's used in a carbon fiber fretboard, and Thomas's feels great. But there's actually another guy that you brought up, River Song from mm-hmm. Canada, and he's actually got a composite neck, but they figured a way to put wood on it. Now, if you think of this, it could be problematic because wood changes, carbon fiber doesn't, right? So they've come up with a real clever way where you actually have a wooden fretboard on top of a carbon fiber neck or a composite neck. And
That's interesting. Now, I think Travis Bean had an aluminum neck with a wood on the top, and they were able to do that. But that's interesting. Yeah, it would seem like the fretboard would shrink and expand a lot.
Yeah, but he's got it sorted. Not he'll probably be showing that to the NAMM shows, this coming NAMM show. I think it's called the Solstice or something like that. But it's a very, very cool guitar. I think $1,000 for something like that.
Wow, that's not bad. That's a good price for that, too.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. With the fan frets,
yep.
Any problems playing fan frets? Or, you know, does it work with all your music? Or do you only can do certain things with it?
Well, with this particular one, I can go to standard tuning and it works fine, right? Just because of the scale length. And I think the scale length's a little bit shorter than the one I had. So it lives happily in standard tuning and then you can drop down. But the fan fret, I mean, it was designed for bass guitar players in the early day by Novak. I forget his name, Novak's. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now it's made its way into the guitar world. So there are apparently three different things that it helps you out with. One is that because each string is tuned to itself, apparently, intonation is not a problem. But because it's hand cut and there's no template, well, it depends on whether the luthier has a good or bad day or whatever he's drinking. Right. So that's one thing which you can, you know, argue on it, but apparently that's intonation is one of the aspects. The other is that it's ergonomic to play. And actually, it works out really well the higher you go up because the hand naturally falls into place. But if you get down to like an F chord, it's a little bit hard to bend your hand into. But if you're not looking at the fretboard so much, it's not too bad. It doesn't bug you. And the third, because it's a longer scale length, being 2 inches longer, theoretically you can drop to lower tunings and still have the tension. But you know what's funny about that? I believe that theory, but at the same time, I've played some like 12 fret guitars get tuned down to a C and it sounds fabulous and they hold wonderfully, right?
Right.
So, but those are the three things. I mean, it definitely looks cool.
Now, you were saying that it's pretty stable in standard tuning, but when you start doing a lot of weird tunings, like slack key type things, does that become a problem or not?
Just as it would with any other guitar.
So it doesn't really matter.
Unless you're using the Buzz Fighting or, you know, actually tuning each fret specifically with cuts, those little wiggles and stuff, but no, it's, a lot of times most players pull strings into shape, right? You know, a lot of times when you finger, like with your thumb wrapped over, the note will be flat versus if you're actually pushing it with your index finger. And I find that, you know, if I'm taking my index finger and pressing on two strings, like the B and E, I'm actually flat. And when I come around just using the tips of the fingers, then I'm kind of more in pitch, right? So a lot of times you're actually pulling strings into tune.
Now, does it affect you when you tap?
I haven't done a ton of tapping, but I would say no. It's not going to affect anything with tapping.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're always...
Because you know your positions where you're tapping there, but with that fan.
Theoretically, most players, if they're playing on one guitar, get used to that. Me, I've been using all these different guitars. I'm always confused when I'm playing. So it's always... it's like, what am I doing today? Like the harp guitar I brought today is 12 fret, and the one I have at home is a 14 fret. So it's throwing me off all over the place, right? So, and because I'm a sight and feel player, that kind of is important to me. But you get used to it after a while, right? Yeah. When you play live and you make a couple mistakes, you kind of lick your wounds and you start falling in shape very quickly.
Yeah, you learn the guitar real fast.
Very fast. Yeah. So yeah, getting back to, so I toured around with this Leviura guitar and it was fabulous. And then I ran into a couple guys that had helped me when I was touring there one time, and they have a group, and they were supporting a girl that's fairly famous over there. I don't know her name. But when I went to do a mix there, it was the time I had Billy Sheehan play on one of my tracks.
And so, oh, very cool.
Yeah, so they helped me mix that. And then they couldn't believe Billy actually played with me, so they were thrilled about that. But they were doing their own little project, and they asked if I would come in and join in on a bit of a jam. So that's that video that came out recently. We took it down because apparently they didn't like it, so there's another one coming up pretty quick. But, yeah, it was a fun little jam. It was very, very cool.
Tell them they should leave it up there. It was actually a good jam.
Yeah, it will be the same thing. I think the mix is just going to be a little bit different.
Oh, they're just changing. Okay.
It's the German touch, right? Things we wouldn't even notice. They just have to get that, you know, perfection thing.
But it was nice, and what you were doing with it, and your that guitar you were playing.
Just sounded great. Yeah,
I was just blown away.
I can't wait to get my hands back on that and try recording with it, because when I take it on stage, it's just phenomenal. Now, right now, we've got overkill for pickups because we were experimenting with it, so the guitar is fairly heavy. But we've got K&K system with a saddle, with a K&K saddle, a K&K mic, and then the three contact pickups, and then the whole preamp is sitting inside of it, and you control all the bass and treble and stuff. So the guitar is fairly heavy, and then we've got a Seymour Duncan mag mic in the sound hole. So. But it's, yeah, all the pickups, it just sounds killer.
Oh, wow. So you have basically the same thing that you have on there?
No, I've got something different today on this. I've been working with a company called Skysonic, and this is kind of like their version of the MagMic, which is interesting. It's got some very cool sounds to it. And then I'm just using the standard Yamaha pickup.
The standard Yamaha. Yeah. That, which just sounds good. This guitar, considering how much it's been on the road, it still sounds amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, what we will be hearing today, I mean, we're only using the one output, so I'll be using the Skysonic for today. But usually I would blend the two, and I mean, it's funny, when you blend them and they're in phase, it sounds real pushy. The Yamaha's got that nice kind of brightness to it, and then you got the kind of magnetic-y, ballsy low end of this, and the two really come alive. Because when you play this when you play in the higher strings, it sounds very magnetic-y.
Right.
So that's the downside of just it by itself.
But. Now, with the fact that you've been touring Europe and around now, have you found new studios? Are you, because you, I know you're on the road so much. I don't think you get home enough to record. Are you going to do more recording while you're moving around?
Well, still to determine. What happens, I've got such a backlog of material that I've always been afraid to look at. I mean, this new project that we're working on, I brought about 20 songs and had the label I'm working with, which is called Fret Monkey Records, and Alicia and Blake and Dennis are the owners. And so we sat down and we listened to some of these old tunes from back from 2002, and we picked 6 songs to do an EP with. And just started to go in production with them. So I kind of liked what we did. And it was tough on me because I had to kind of try to relearn all these old songs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you hear back, you hear the magic in what you had in the early days, and to try to recapture that magic, a little bit tricky. But I think we came up with some good stuff. So I might try to kind of keep going down that route. And as soon as we release this, I'm not sure of the release date, but we're going to try to submit it for the Grammys. And there is a strategy going with that to be kind of in the roots kind of category.
And so it's coming up pretty soon.
Won't be for this Grammy, it'll be for the next.
For the next.
I mean, I could be wrong about that.
Well, if you do go for the next, you were saying something about an EP, but you've got to do a whole album.
Well, between
you've got so much good stuff.
Well, between now and then, I'm definitely going to be doing that. I got excited by this project. Now I'm going to go home and I'm going to go, well, I'm going to...
Alicia and Blake, you got to do a whole album.
Yeah, yeah.
Not putting any pressure, but, you know.
Yeah, and have you heard of Fat Monkey Records?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, very progressive label and for acoustic guitar players.
And I think it's... And I'm glad that there are these new labels that are catering to the new music and stuff that are... Now going beyond, it's now the next era of, you know, music labels and stuff.
It's exciting times to see the whole kind of a new approach. And a guitar player you might want to get on next time, too, he's on the label. His name is Quist. He's an electric player, really phenomenal.
How do you spell his name?
Quist. And phenomenal electric player. And I think he's right now touring with Brian Ferry. So I think he's got got millions of views on YouTube.
Let Alicia and Blake...
I'll tell them.
Where are they based?
Out of Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me, if they, give them my information, because I'd love to have some more of the artists.
I still don't get that, because you say Kansas, and then you say Arkansas. Like, why can't it be Arkansas?
Arkansas, huh?
Yeah, well, they didn't like that.
There's many contradictions in American.
Of course, yeah.
But that's interesting. So, okay, so now you're playing with this guy in Germany. So are you doing duos besides solo stuff?
No, that project is their own. But on my CD, what we've decided to do is to take these two songs, which I never thought I could. They were always a live song, and I just thought I could never bring them to recording, and we were able to do that. Hopefully it works out. So we got two like solo performances, and then a couple of instrumentals, one being on harp guitar, and then just a standard six-string guitar. And then one song that we're going to produce that's a bit like an Annie DeFranco-type song. And then one old song, which is very slow, and I'm going to probably bring in Michael Mannering maybe to play on that tune if he's available. These are really good fretless bass.
Well, why don't we take... do you want to debut one of them?
I can.
Okay, yes. Let's go ahead and do that right now.
Yeah, so it's an old song called Father Mother, and basically it's just about growing up and stuff, because I lost my dad when I was about 4 and a half, so that's about that. These words from my father when I was 4 years old. Said, boy, always be good to your mother. Boy, always do as you are told. Not someone that's broken, not someone that needs a lie. When all your dreams come crashing down like trees, there'll be 100. I like that part. Reasons why. Words my father when I was 5 years old. He said, boy, always be good to your mother and always carry on her soul, boy. Not someone that's broken, not someone that needs to lie. When all your dreams come crashing down like trees, boy, there'll be 100. Reasons why. Thank you. not someone that's broken, not someone that needs a light. When all your dreams come crashing down like trees, boy, there'll be 100, there'll be 1,000, there'll be 1,000,000, 100,000,000. Reasons why I something like that.
I love the bends. Those bends are just those. Yeah, the way you bend the notes. Now you're bending by sliding too, but you're also bending the neck.
Yeah, I'm constantly. This is such a great way to do vibrato, and it's just a nice mild, and you can control
it.
Right?
He's doing that right now by moving the neck.
Yeah. And the beauty is, it's like a pedal. You have a constant thing all that. So this time you can bend it all over the place as you need it.
Does it fatigue the neck, or is there any danger to the neck?
It's still holding up. Been playing this for 5 years. Yeah. It's like,
because one of the guys that does that a lot is Billy Sheehan.
Is that right? Yeah, he's the wild rock style. Yeah, he goes crazy with it. Yeah. But it's just so expressive, right? And the beauty of it is you just do it naturally while you're playing. You just feel the need to kind of extend or to sustain a little bit, and that's how you do it.
That's a great song. That's an earlier song, right? You wrote that a lot.
Yeah, I wrote it in 2002, and have played it a lot on stage. Didn't do a very good job today. I just got off a plane, though. But
you sounded great.
Okay, thanks. We recorded it, and hopefully it just captures the life of it. Like live, it's really great. You were playing through a big.
Which guitar did you use? This one.
Used a little Yamaha. Yeah, and it worked. It sounded really great with the mix of the pickups, and we had some ambient mic pickups on it. And it was different because I had to play the track down first and then sing to it, which is not, I've never done it that way, right? So
really,
yeah, it's always been play it live. And so when you're feeling it and playing it and singing it, much different than laying down the track and then trying to sing to it. So that was a good lesson for me that way to try.
I'm surprised if you didn't do any overdubs or any other besides the voice.
No, just the guitar. And
I'm surprised that they just didn't do it live like that.
Well, I think what we did is why did we do that? I think I just wanted more separation, and we talked about doing that for the separation part. Okay. But thinking back about it, maybe it would have been the proper way to do it. I guess in the past when I tried to do it on my own, it just never sounded or felt right. I didn't capture the sound quality properly, so I think I was worried about that.
I mean, for me, if you're using other instruments and there's leakage issues, that's one thing. But and when you mic'd your guitar, I presume you mic'd it rather than run the electronics.
We did all four.
Well, you did everything.
Yeah,
okay.
Everything, yeah.
Did you mic it in stereo? Did you have two mics?
Yes, he did, yeah.
So you really got a good ambient sound from it.
Yeah, he got a really, really nice.
But usually when you're recording and you're playing solo, it's not going to really matter. If the voice, especially if it's a song you're singing, it's just you and guitar and there's nothing else. Usually the leakage of all of the mics sounds better.
Well, what we wanted to try to do was with the recording is this, you have this... And we wanted to be able to isolate this percussion sound a bit more than you could with the vocal, EQ it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that, it might affect the vocal. But now that I think of it, there's no vocal. Well, I heard these words. Yeah, so it would have been a problem. That's why I think we did that. So hopefully it, you never know. We'll just see what happens. But
I'm dying to hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, me too. I didn't really get a chance to hear anything. We just kind of did about 6 takes and then about 6 vocal takes. And then I just kind of went, just picked segments that I thought were good, and then I left. So I didn't even get a chance to see the mix on it, how it went down. But
so how many other songs did you do, just you?
6
and
total.
6 of you singing solo?
4 singing and 2 instrumentals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One like Annie DeFranco type of tune, and one will be like a band-produced song, and then one with Michael Manring, hopefully, if he's still available.
Right.
And we're kind of going to submit it for the whole Roots category and see what happens with that. and maybe dial in a bit.
Well, this type of, I think this type of playing and this type of music is popular, and it's good stuff. It's good technique.
It's coming back. Yeah, it's especially the Celtic kind of aspect of that, the Irish kind of stuff. That's huge in Canada right now. All these like
Celtic
bands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The when I got nominated for the Western Canadian Music Awards, the band that won was actually about a 5-piece kind of like bluegrass kind of Celtic band.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's hard for a solo player to go up against that when they're all great players.
Now, right? One of the songs that you have is a Celtic influence?
Well, no, but they're more kind of this kind of bluegrassy kind of sounding thing, right?
I'm not sure. The sound, the tonality, harmonic wise, it's much more complicated than Celtic.
Well, yes, absolutely.
What you're doing, it's you know, harmonically, you're doing a lot more.
Yeah, there's a lot of touch going on that song. And what's funny is when I listened back to it, the takes, and I was going, actually, it's not such a simple song as I thought it was. There's so much touch variation. But yeah, I didn't have a good day tonight. But yeah, it's a pretty colorful little song. So my question to you is, what does it sound like to you? What kind of style, like bluegrass or folk or?
It doesn't sound to me like bluegrass, and it's more of that type of new, like Preston Reed. Lawrence Juber's doing a lot of that type. I don't know if it's like neo folk, if I can call it that.
That's a good title, yeah.
Because it's beyond that. Because your influences are beyond what's traditional folk. It's not Woody Guthrie. It's not any of that.
Or Americana.
There's jazz. Yeah. There's jazz influences. The percussive thing can be world, it can be jazz, it can be rock influences, depending on the song. From what I've heard of you doing, your rhythmic sense has different songs have different influences, but those are what I hear.
Yeah.
So you're really kind of a new thing because you're taking what you've heard. Also, your experience as an electric player and stuff, like the bending.
Yeah.
That's total rock stuff.
I came from.
Yeah, you're a rocker at heart. So, I mean, that's what I call all of this. I mean, it's classified as new age, but I think it's like neo folk, neo classical, neo. There's a lot of, you're doing some classical things in there too.
Yeah. So then I guess we don't fit in any category. We fall through the cracks again.
We're
going to test it and see.
No, they'll probably put you in like the new age stuff.
Oh,
that's usually the category. I mean, I'm not a Grammy person, so I'm not sure but that's usually what I've seen of music like this.
So part of this whole strategy of doing this is that, of course, if I record it in Canada, it wouldn't be eligible. And so we had to do a production in the U.S. to do that. So,
really?
Yeah, so the at least that's what I was led
How
to believe.
How can that be when the Beatles recorded and they were nominated? They recorded in England.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, maybe a big acts like that is different. But I think for like Roots and stuff. I don't know. I think it's
cool that you're doing it. I think it's interesting to do this stuff. Like you had mentioned, you had just come back from Charlotte, but you were working over in Nashville.
No, it was actually Arkansas.
In Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, in Conroy, Arkansas.
Conroy, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But if you recording here in some of these places, I think it will be interesting because it'll definitely have an influence on what you're doing.
Well, I'm here for 10 days, and I might just slip by a studio. But I just haven't felt ready for anything. So I think now that I got the fire under my butt, I'm going to start taking more chances and see what happens.
Right. So. But I mean, I think that your influences are so broad. I hope that's not a that limits your possibilities.
Yeah.
For nomination, because you're listening to the same stuff we're listening to, so I don't see any. I've never noticed it to be a segregated, like, sorry, you can't because you didn't record here. I've always felt it was global.
Yeah, end of the day, I'm just happy that I can even get out there and play in front of people and people come. So that's always been the goal. And I think I told you last time, if I was refined to my bedroom, my best moments have always been in the bedroom anyways. And then you have to try to make songs stage worthy, so you wear them down. So if I have to go back to the bedroom, we'll go there. But so far, it's been pretty good. We've been getting
bigger. Well, you've been very busy.
Yeah.
And how's the reaction to this type of music outside of the United States?
Well, wherever I play and wherever I'm in front of people, and always get standing ovations, and always get great response. And Germany has the great audiences. You have to do like two or three ovations before they stop. But they're so polite during the process. It's at the end that they go wild, right? And so, I think the whole trick is to get visibility. And I think, you know, like in the past, I felt the music wasn't marketable. But then that hope, that big shining light that came through with Andy McKee when Prince brought him on tour, right? And I remember Andy calling me and saying, "You're not going to believe this. I just got an email message from like prince999@gmail.com or something like that, saying it was Prince's manager and he wanted to speak to Andy." And so Andy's manager, they contacted him, and it wasn't a hoax. It was actually true. And next thing, Andy's in Michigan, I guess, or Minneapolis, and he's playing ping pong with Prince. Prince wants him to do three or four things. Prince wants him to open the show. Prince wants to do a duet with him during the show. Prince wants him to play with the band during the show. And then Prince wants him to do after parties so he can bring high-end executives to see him and stuff. And so Andy did most of the Australian tour with Prince as the opening act. So let's look at that for a second. If you've been to a Prince show, Prince does not play his pop hits like pop on the radio. It's house funk mix at its finest. And so how an acoustic artist fits in that is beyond me. But I think Prince, as a visionary, looked at it more as music being universal, and having Andy open up to 40,000 people every night playing what Andy did with instrumental music only, he knew people would love it, and they did. So it's just a matter of getting visibility for this genre, and I think there's a lot more possibilities to come with that.
Well, you're seeing a lot of artists of that neo-folk, neo...
Exactly.
That thing, like Mike Dawes.
Yeah, Mike.
He's touring with Justin Hayward all
exactly,
the time.
Exactly.
And he's great.
Yeah, Mike's a great player.
And he's doing some interesting stuff, both electric and acoustic with him. And it's pretty cool stuff that, you know, inventive arrangements of, you know, scaling down some of the moody hits and...
Yeah, I know it's interesting because a lot of the guys who are doing fingerstyle stuff get a fast track to fame by doing covers and stuff like that. I've been very stubborn about doing that, and I don't know what my issue is, but I just want to be me as an artist, and if I can't get through that way, then I just, you know, then that's the way it's supposed to be. But every time I've tried to look at doing an arrangement, I just sit down and I kind of go, just can't feel it for some reason. So... Staying with the original.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about it.
Well, yeah, the thing is you kind of play the lower ranks by doing it this way. It's a tougher road to follow for sure.
No, that's true. But but your repertoire is growing every
day. Oh, yeah.
And that's important now, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? When I put on a show, it's an experience. It's taking people through a journey, storytelling, stuff like that. I still believe to this very day, unless you're Tommy Emmanuel, somebody really exquisite like that, people, unless they're really guitar geeks, aren't there to watch a guy play guitar for 2 hours. And that's what I've experienced with my shows, and that's why I went more down Tatum experiences, right? If I play guitar for 2 hours from the audiences I have been playing to, then I probably wouldn't get return customers.
Yeah, you have to make it interesting. Yeah, even most of the guys that I've seen play, there's always like they set up a little story, and there's like a little interlude between... Which covers also their tuning, changing the tunings of the guitar.
Well, that's the, I guess, the strategy.
It's a stretch. Well, they did that same thing. Even Genesis used to do that. Peter Gabriel would start the thing while they're tuning the Mellotron and the guitars.
I'm just thinking, where did I just do a gig? And I was on stage, and, my G string broke. Oh, yeah, it was in Perlandria in Asheville. And so I only had the Yamaha with me, and G string broke. And the problem with this particular situation is that these are the you don't have these in a lot of acoustics, but the ones where they tighten up at the end, the anti-slip or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a small screwdriver first to tighten them, to unloosen them.
Oh, they're locking.
Locking, that's what it is. So these are self-locking ones I've got in the shade are self-locking, and so I've not broken a string on stage with the self-locking, so this was a new experience. So now I had to get into some very clever jokes and storytelling while I'm trying to borrow a screw from somebody. We found a Swiss Army knife and took that, and so it became funny. So I'm trying to loosen this thing on stage and re-thread it, and it took about 5 minutes, but it was hilarious. So, different experience for that.
But, besides Germany, where else did you tour in Europe?
We went over to, this time we just went to Ireland.
How'd you like Ireland?
Ireland's fabulous. People are so fabulous. Give an example of how great the people are. I get there, and once again, I told you earlier today, I'm having problems with mixers and power supplies.
Right.
And so right now, I own about 15 different mixers, all without power supplies. Well, this particular mixer I brought over, we just left the power supply in Germany. We forgot it. So it meant going to a store to buy another power supply. So we're on our way to the gig trying to get to a store. We get to a store, And I'm inside there, and I decided to look at some of the acoustic guitars first, and I was looking at some of the Loudons and stuff, and started playing one a little bit, and then this guy came over and started talking to me, and next thing you know, before we knew it, he's loaning me a mixer, so we're driving to his place. He's got, now, he doesn't have internet, doesn't use Facebook or anything, just has a cell phone, and we don't have a phone with a SIM card, so he's lending the guy a mixer to a guy who doesn't know, he doesn't know anything about me, can't search on me or anything, and I'm supposed to get it back to him in Dublin in like 4 or 5 days. But he said, but if you're playing in Sligo, you can give it to this guy. So I guess they all know each other down there. And so I played in Sligo at a theater.
That's so cool.
Gave it to the guy. Yeah. And I don't know if he got it back, hopefully. But yeah, so just out of the blue, loaned me a mixer. And it was a beautiful mixer, too. So better than my travel with.
That's great. And he was impressed with you playing the Loudon.
It was, yeah.
Those are nice guitars.
They are beautiful, yeah. Yeah, and then of course the Guinness there is always as good as ever. So, but what I saw was really awesome is that in Canada I had an Irish friend introduce me to an Irish whiskey called, it's a blended one, it's called Tullamore Dew. So not the Scotch Pures and all that stuff, and it's got a really nice taste to it. And so we're walking down in Sligo down the old streets, and I walk past a store that's got all these different whiskeys, and there was like an old version of Tullamore Dew, right? Probably worth $150 or something like that. But it's like, wow, I'd love to get that, like a 20-year-old or something like that, 3-year-old. But yeah, wonderful place.
Great. And they really, the response was good?
Yeah. Once again,
they like the type of music.
They do. I mean, it's tough to impress down there because their singing is so, everybody can sing so well down there. They sing from the heart, right? But overall package, yeah, I played to a theater. We had about 80 people, and they got a couple ovations, so it was great. Yeah, always. It's always fun when people get into it, right? And then you can put it out.
Oh, so. That's great. Now, playing in China, how is that different besides the food?
Well, China is just it's like surreal. I mean, it's you kind of think you're a rock star there for a little bit because you walk onto the stage and you have like hundreds of people out there, and you finish and they're mobbing, and everybody has to get a picture with you. Signed CDs, and yeah, it's really awesome. And people writing these fabulous notes, so very, very cool. But then you get back to reality, right? Yeah, playing to 10 people. What happened? Yeah.
So. Well, do you want to show us one of the instrumental ones? Can you play one of the?
Yeah, I'll play you a little bit of Willie. I think you're probably going to play it as the outro, but I'll play a little bit on that that early rise on the harp guitar if you want.
Well,
that.
We can do that, and then you can just play something else to take us out.
Yeah, that'd be good. Sure.
All right. I don't need to play the record. I mean, okay. Because we're going to hear it here. It doesn't. It's actually a rough mix anyway. But yeah. He's pulling out the harp guitar now. So
no guarantees I'll be able to play it all the way through. So we're still learning it.
This is a great guitar. Now this is the shorter the 12 the short scale shorter neck than his usual neck. This is a cool. He's got the coolest harp guitar.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. And actually, one of the fellows I wanted to bring into you today is a company that I'm going to be endorsing and working with. It's called Timberline Guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his name's Rob Smith. And Rob was going to come with me today and bring you one of theirs. And that's what I'm probably going to be start touring with in the next year. So he's going to have one here for me in North America, and then one for me to use in Germany.
Well, when the album's released, we definitely have to have you back. Have him come down.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's in California, right?
Yeah.
So
now, tell me before you start playing, I'm going to take pictures real quick. What do you have on this guitar? Because there's a bar. It looks like.
Yeah. So this guitar actually has. A K&K system, stereo, a K&K stereo system for the treble strings.
So this is a Timberline?
No, this is another Dyer.
Dyer. Yeah.
So you got these 6 sub-bass strings, and then the 6 high strings. And the K&K covers both those, but you have to have a stereo plug. And of course, you don't have that here. So I've got a magnetic bar pickup, which is really cool. This is from Austria, and it's called Sixtus Pickups, Sixtus. And this is a long bar version. So if anybody's looking for these really low profile pickups for any type of acoustic guitar, make sure to contact this guy. He'll even actually etch your name on the plate of it too, right?
It looks like those ones I used to use on the pianos. God, I can't remember the name of them. They used to put them under the piano soundboard. Yeah. It was a long one like that. It was a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, I've been having a heck of a time finding one of
Countryman.
These.
Countryman. Countryman used to make those.
Ah, okay.
So back in the day when there were like Brockers, Berry Pop, back in the old, I'm dating myself, but this is a beautiful guitar.
Turn it up a bit. always hard to keep these things in tune. So this song called Early Riser, and it's dedicated to a guy named Willie. He was a baker in Germany, and he went through the whole wars and stuff like that, but he had to get up like 4 or 5 every morning to bake all of his buns and stuff. And if you've been over to Germany, you know Brötchen buns are like the big thing, right? That and bratwurst are a must-have.
So. Same in France. The bakery section of France in the morning, you can smell the fresh bread. It's
such a great smell, eh? Mm. It's funny because North America, I don't eat that kind of stuff. But as soon as you go over there, it's like you're having the cheeses and the meats and a whole different diet. Yeah, good thing I don't live. I mean, since I've been traveling, I gained like 10 pounds. Now I got to go and lose it all again. Hard work. So, let's see if I can get through this. It's called Willie, and it's played in the harp guitar. And the tuning for you guys is it's a D minor 9 tuning. Oh, it's just going to... Something like that.
That is so cool.
Mistakes and all.
Now, it was interesting what you were doing in there, and I'd like you to go in a little more depth at that very end. You're doing those weird chords, and you're hitting the harmonics.
Yeah.
You're running like a bass line from the drone strings.
Yeah. So I would pick a bass note, which nice in the harp guitar because you can let it ring, right? So
right.
On a normal guitar, I'd be going...
See, that's where the harp guitar is so great, because you can put this bass. If you get that rhythm going with the left hand, you got the bass note holding. Now you can come pick the harmonics. So.
Yeah, and then you hit the harmonic.
Yeah. And then I'll take the left hand and actually do a little bit of a different rhythm.
So you're hammering, you're hammering with your left hand and bending.
Yeah.
That low, that like, yeah, right there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Just doing two different sets of harmonics.
Well, it's interesting because the harmonics become the drone.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's the pedal. Yeah. Even though in the beginning it's the bass string that's the pedal, like traditional. So you kind of flip it. But that the tone of the harmonic is an interesting pedal tone. And then you're with the bending of the other string with the left hand, it gives it a lot of character.
Yeah, it's such a great instrument for like a lot of different colors at one time, right? I mean, I'm still a baby on playing it, and it's just a fabulous instrument.
Now, do all the harp guitars, I'm trying to remember the other one that you brought last time, they only have six strings as the drone strings, or do they have more?
Well, now you're jumping in a whole different world, because anything goes. I mean, traditionally it was the six and the six, and there was a six and a five, then you got the Gibson, there's like 18 in total, and now you have the ones with the super treble. So you have the low section, the regular six strings, and then super trebles to like very, very high pitched ones, six of those. So there's a guy named Jamie Dupuy. He's on this label as well too, and he just did a song called Scarborough Fair with that cover of it. And he's playing the melody on the high treble strings, and then doing stuff with the other hands. So.
Oh wow!
So very cool. Yeah, it's just a fabulous instrument. Very hard to keep in tune though. But and then of course Merle Anderson's playing the nylon string version.
Yeah, she has. So, I've seen that one before too. Though most of them, you're the one that really introduced me to the harp guitar. Having you on the show has been really an eye-opener in terms of this type of instrument. But this guy isn't a big instrument, but it's deep.
Yeah, this is one of the smaller ones. And my last CD, I actually had The Armed and Dangerous. So it was a singing harp guitar song in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I think I used my 1918 for that one, mm-hmm. Which is one of the really old Dyers.
That's cool.
But I'm looking for the Timberline ones, and when they next time we'll come here, we'll bring one from Rob.
Oh, we definitely. And he's going to make you, besides, he's making regular and harp guitars?
Yeah, that's right. A whole range of guitars. And the harp guitars are going to be about $1,500 and less, probably down like $1,000. So now we can actually bring these to the market for people and make them affordable, right?
That'll be interesting. Very interesting.
So there are so many creative people out there right now with six string, and once they get a harp guitar in their hands, I can't imagine. Like, I'd love to see Annie DeFranco with a harp guitar.
I think she could have fun with one of these. Yeah.
Well, you know who would really shine on these, and would be keyboard players and guys that have a great understanding of theory and harmony and theory, because once again, you take your just basic roots and these basic runs, but the beauty comes when you can get these kind of extended chords that you can't do in a regular guitar, and a pianist would just, especially jazz guys, would just go wild with all the voicings.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a matter of time before
that's
see.
One thing I'm going to throw at you to do is you need to do a jazz piece on here.
I think that's out of my range, but I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be, I know a couple of guys
who'll
probably do
it. It'll be neo-jazz folk.
Neo-jazz folk. There you go.
There you go.
I know guys right now that could probably do that kind of stuff, though.
It'd be interesting because what you're talking about with the voicings and stuff, I mean, it doesn't have to be all, just a lot of, like, saxophone notes or something, but you could actually do something harmonically interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, see, my approach is always organic. I don't really have a science or strategy of going forward, so it takes me a lot longer than it would for other players.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty for me is that it comes out of you can't really compare, but it comes out of a place of honesty for what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't for the other guys, but when you write it on paper, it's a little bit different when you get a gift from the universe. So it's not like even this chord, that's not something that Don Oliver could come up with, because I just don't have that theory ability. But by messing around and having a decent ear, it was like, wow, that's magical to me.
But that's where music is made. It's from your ear. It's not the theory. The theory can get in the way.
Yeah, there's no rules. That's right. Yeah. That's the beauty, is that You know, when you go down the route that I'm going, it's all about you can break all the rules, but you got to try.
Right. We were talking a little bit before about some of the recordings you do. Yeah. It's the feel. It's from the heart. Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. We're out of time. We're really out of time. I got to get you. I'm going to try to squeeze another song in real quick. Do you want it? What do you want to take us out with?
Me playing?
Yeah.
Well, it'd have to be on.
It doesn't have to be long. If you want to do like a little.
I'll do just that later. Sure.
Yeah, just do something.
Sure. You can talk over this.
Okay. Everybody, we'll be back next week. I just check out www.analder.com and Fret Monkey Records. I'm going to go look them up there. They're available everywhere. And check out some of the other artists. And I'm looking forward to having some of the other people.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, take care.
Here we go.
Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent.